In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, today is the last Sunday of May, and also we have the glorious feast of the Queenship this Tuesday, so I would like to speak about our Blessed Mother in today's sermon. And I want to quote from St. Louis Marie de Montfort's wonderful book, True Devotion to Mary. And to begin, I suppose I would like to emphasize that there is such a, unfortunately, a pushback in the world against devotion to Mary. And this by many people who claim to follow the Bible. What we need to establish very clearly in our minds, and this is what I want to emphasize today, that in no way can devotion to Mary be an obstacle to devotion to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it can only be very, very helpful. It is even necessary to save our souls because God has revealed that He has a most special woman involved in the economy of the redemption. He chose a most pure and holy person to be His mother. And she has tremendous power with her Son. She is the Queen of Heaven. God is the King, but God has also willed to make her the Queen of Heaven and Earth. So allow me then to read some excerpts from St. Louis de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary, in which he explains that, yes, at first in the early church, it was not God's will that Our Lady be much known or much emphasized. That's clear. And this is, again, where Protestants do go very wrong because they claim Bible alone, and hence because there are few references to our Blessed Mother in the Bible, they conclude very wrongly, therefore, that she's not all that important. It is true that Our Lady, there's not a lot said about Our Lady in the Bible. There, of course, are prefigurements of her, and there are seven times that Our Lady spoke. Some of them on the same occasion, but you can even identify seven times where Our Lady spoke, and she doesn't speak after that at all. But let's listen to how St. Louis explains this. And he says, in the latter times, Our Lady has to be, her role will become more and more important. It's not inventing new truths. It's just God is placing her more and more in the forefront, so to speak, because He has a role for her to play. And why was it not this way in the early Testament, early New Testament? Why is it more so in the latter times, in which St. Louis says, yes, the more we approach the times of the Antichrist and of the final battle, Our Lady will have a most tremendous role. So let's listen to his words here. It was through Mary that the salvation of the world was begun, and it is through Mary that it must be consummated. Mary hardly appeared at all in the first coming of Jesus Christ. In order that men, as yet but little instructed and enlightened on the person of her Son, should not remove themselves from the truth and attaching themselves too strongly and too grossly to her, this would have apparently taken place if she had been known. Because of the admirable charms which the Most High had bestowed upon even her exterior. And he talks about an early church father, Dennis the Areopagite, who saw Our Lady in a vision, and she was so spectacular. They said if his faith hadn't told him otherwise, he would have been tempted to adore her as a divinity. But his faith tells him he could never do that, commit that sin. But again, the charm, the beauty, the power, the splendor of Our Lady is commensurate with who she is. So the reasons which moved the Holy Ghost to hide Our Lady during her life and to reveal her but little since the preaching of the gospel exist no longer. God then wishes to reveal and make known Mary, the masterpiece of his hands in these latter times. First, because she hid herself in this world and put herself lower than the dust by her profound humility. So I think St. Louis will repeat this, but what did our Lord say? That he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And who humbled herself more than Our Lady did? Second reason, because she, being the masterpiece of the hands of God, as well here below by grace as in heaven by glory, he wishes to be glorified and praised in her by those who are living upon the earth. Thirdly, as she is the dawn which precedes and reveals the Son of Justice, who is Jesus Christ, she must be seen and recognized in order that Jesus Christ may also be. So his third reason there, he's using the analogy of what happens every day. Before the sun rises, what happens each and every time? The dawn occurs, the beginning of light. So it's just a natural progression of things, you might say. Fourth, being the way by which Jesus came to us the first time, she will also be the way by which he will come the second time, though not in the same manner. It's absolutely inescapable and undeniable. Jesus came through Mary. It's possible that our Lord could have just appeared without a human mother. God can do all things. Of course, it was prophesied that he would come through the tribe of Judah, so there had to be some taking of humanity through the tribe of Judah. But everybody knows that Mary is the mother of Jesus. So use this simple logic. Jesus is God. Mary is his mother, so she's the mother of God. You can't split Jesus into a human person and a divine person. He's one person with two natures. What an incredible mystery, but nevertheless true. Now, obviously, Our Lady did not give divinity to our Lord, no more than a mother gives the soul to her child. God has to create a soul in each and every case. But we still call our mother, even though technically just the mother of our body. So Mary is the mother of God. God came to us through her. So obviously she would have a great role in bringing people to Christ in the latter times, the longer the ages of the world go on, in other words. The fifth reason, being the sure means and the straight and immaculate way to go to Jesus Christ and to find him perfectly, it is by her that the souls who are to shine forth, especially in sanctity, have to find our Lord. He who shall find Mary shall find life. So kind of a rephrasing of what he said in his fourth reason. He came to us through her. It only makes sense to go to him through her. Making use of devotion to her, in other words. The sixth reason, Mary must shine forth more than ever in mercy and might and in grace in these latter times, in mercy to bring back and lovingly receive the poor strayed sinners who shall be converted and shall return to the Catholic Church, in might against the enemies of God, idolaters, schismatics, Mohammedans, Jews, and souls hardened in impiety, who shall rise in terrible revolt against God to seduce all those who shall be contrary to them. Finally, she must shine forth in grace in order to animate and sustain the valiant soldiers and faithful servants of Jesus Christ. And then the seventh reason, Mary must be terrible to the devil and his crew as an army ranged in battle, principally in these latter times, because the devil, knowing that he has but little time and now less than ever to destroy souls, will every day redouble his efforts and his combats. He will presently raise up cruel persecutions and will put terrible snares before the faithful servants and true children of Mary, whom it gives him more trouble to conquer than it does to conquer others. So we see this wonderful teaching of St. Louis in his book, True Devotion to Mary. It's not every single word of it official teaching of the Church, but it is approved by the Church. Pope St. Pius X had it on the little table next to his bed. He loved to read it. And he also gave his apostolic blessing to anybody who would read it. If there had been anything wrong or heretical in this book, then it would have prevented St. Louis Marie de Montfort from being canonized, which took place, I think, in 1947. So there we see the Church's approval of St. Louis's teaching. And we can also see why the devil hates this book, the True Devotion to Mary, because the more people are devoted to Mary, the less control, influence, and chance of defeat the devil has against them. I love this thought from St. Louis de Montfort. He says, Satan would rather be conquered and vanquished and humiliated by God than by Mary. Why? Because Our Lady is obviously less than God. It crushes the devil. It humiliates his pride more for Our Lady to crush him and defeat him. And God has given her the power to do that than if God did it. I mean, God is infinite. How painful to the pride of Satan that God has said, and this was from the beginning of the human race, after the serpent, the devil in the form of the serpent deceived Eve, God said to the serpent, I will place enmities between thee and the woman. And at the end of that verse, he says, she shall crush thy head. And ever since her Immaculate Conception, she's been crushing his head, defeating him time and again. And of course, the final defeat God has given to Our Lady to accomplish over him. So you see then, my dear brethren, why you must have a great devotion to Our Lady. We have to combat, as I said earlier, this unfortunate thinking, conscious or subconscious, that somehow Our Lady is an obstacle. No, God came to us through her. Do you think he would have done that if Our Lady would have been any obstacle or threat to him? He knows what she does. She brings souls to him. She makes them more like Christ. And he has honored her indescribably. You know, St. Louis has one of his sayings, of Mary there is never enough. And I will admit, when I was younger, I found that somewhat troubling. I mean, isn't there the danger of doing it too much and then we'll be offending God? And it wasn't official Church teaching. But then I came across a wonderful simple explanation, and it goes like this. Don't be afraid of honoring Mary too much, because you can never honor her as much as Jesus has honored her. He made her his mother. He made her queen of heaven and earth. And I'll explain how the royalty works in just a minute. It's he who at the marriage feast of Cana said to her, "My time is not yet come to work a miracle, to do something about the fact that they ran out of wine." And Our Lady knows her power, and she says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Another thing that made me understand so much more about our Blessed Mother is that in the Old Testament, the wife of the king more often was not the queen. Unfortunately, there was the evil of polygamy, which was tolerated by God. And so it would have been difficult, confusing to say the least. But what is very clear is that the mother of the king was the queen. And it's so beautiful to read about this, about Bethsabe or Bathsheba, she who was one of the wives of King David while David was alive. When she went into his throne room or went before him in a formal manner, she had to prostrate and show her obeisance. She was not the queen at that time. But after King David died and Solomon became the king, we read how when she came into the throne room, her son Solomon stood up to honor his mother. The king, the highest royalty of the Jewish people, stood up for his mother and had her seated at his right hand, the place of the greatest honor. So the Jews, being familiar with this history of theirs, and other many other times when the mother was the queen, not the wife of the king, when they realized that Jesus is the King of Kings, the automatic deduction to make from that is that his mother necessarily is Queen of Heaven and Earth. So I wanted to share these thoughts with you to inspire your devotion to Our Lady. Obviously, we would never give her anything that belongs to God, the honor given to God. That's God alone gives adoration. But as St. Louis puts so beautifully in another part of true devotion, he says, whenever we say Mary, she says Jesus. And her greatest desire is to bring us to a greater love in service of her Son. So don't be afraid of honoring Mary very greatly and be her devoted child. And yes, I encourage you even to make the total consecration, but read this wonderful book. It will inspire you. I have no doubt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.